Daniel was told way about 500 years before Christ came. Daniel was told very clearly what God's game plan would be. And he was given a very clear definition of the step-by-step process by which he, God, would move the world to judgment through his dealings with and through the nation of Israel and the people who called out home. It's very clear. I was pondering one day how I could make that real. And we have a son that's an architect and a doctor and a very, very brilliant young woman as our daughter. And they said, well, why don't you try this, Dad? You know what that is? Almost. It once was, but I circumcised it. There's only 35 inches on this one. 35. I took the last one off. Why? Because 35 times 2 is what?
70.
And that's the figure God gave Daniel. That's what God said through Gabriel to Daniel. You read all about it in chapter 9. But what God told Daniel was, there's a starting point right here, and there's an ending point over here, and here's what I'm going to do at the end. Six things God outlined. And God said, this period of time, Daniel, is decreed. You know what decree means when God says, I decree? It means it is the only reality for that event. There it is. And God said that every one of these inches would be split in half, half inches, and I would have 70 equal units. See that? Mm-hmm. 35 inches, 70 equal units. And God said those 70 equal units would each be the same length. And he said, here's the event that's going to mark the start of this clock. Told us exactly, and you can't make a mistake there. There's only one place in all of Scripture, in all of history, which serves as the starting point. And it is clearly documented both in biblical history and in secular history. There's no question about when it started. And God said, from that time until, no, let me correct something here. I got to do a little more circumcision here. And I use that word for a reason. God said that from the starting point over there until this moment in history, would be 69 of those weeks. Weeks, actually the word isn't weeks, the word is sevens. So here you have 69 equal units, each representing 7 years. And Daniel, when human history comes to this moment, guess what's going to happen? Messiah will be cut off. Calvary. And I tell you, you may be the best mathematician in the world, you may not be able to one it, and may not be able to add 2 and 2 and not get more than 6. But I want you to know, do your history, and you'll find out that that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. And God said, now, Daniel, there's one more unit of 7. It's the same length as each of these other units of 7. Are you tracking with me? So these 69 units of 7 years each are now history. Messiah came into the world, and he died. He died precisely after that 69th 7 was completed. And he knew what time it was on God's clock. That's why he arranged what we call Palm Sunday. It's why he arranged what was his last visit to the temple. It's why his enemies said, "Do you hear what those kids are saying about you, Jesus? You ought to tell them to shut up." And he looked at them and said, "If those children stop saying Hosanna to God in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, if they stop saying that, the stones would cry out." And I know he wasn't spiffing. So we're not dealing here with human opinion. We're dealing here with the revealed law and will of God. Now, this last unit is also 7 years long. Two questions come immediately to your mind. A, what starts this last unit of 7 years? What is the opening event? The event by which God will start his clock, and it will go for 7 years. And what is the event that will close that 7-year period? God told Daniel. And if you were here last week, I told you. This 7-year period is called the 70th week of Daniel. And in this period of time, God is going to deal directly with the Jewish nation in an unparalleled way. That is so important that when God took John into the future from the Isle of Patmos, took him into the future, God took of the 22 books of that revelation, God spent 9 of them talking about this tiny 7 years. Daniel's already told us what starts the ticker going. Maybe I can make that easier for you to understand. We have a wind-up clock in our house. One of those, you know, the pendulum thing. Mm-hmm. And you stop the pendulum, the clock stops. So if we go on vacation, something like that, we stop the clock. And then we come back and we want to start it. We set the hands correctly. We crank it up. And then we start the pendulum moving. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. And away it goes. Well, back here, God stopped the pendulum of human history. And especially, he stopped that human history where he was directly dealing with the Jewish nation. That stopped. He's going to start it again. And it's going to tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock for 2 periods of equal time. In some places, it's called 42 months. In other places, it's called 1,260 days. In other literature, it's called time, singular, times, and half a time. 3.5 times. But it's the same equal period, and there are 2 units of that time. Last week, we were studying the book of Revelation, and I tried to point them out to you. Turn with me quickly, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and let's review before we move on. That's why I gave you that green surprise, or whatever color that is, that burpy green color thing you got there. We'll get to that pretty quickly. But what I want you to see is the 5 times this number, this unit of time, is used, and what they represent. Notice chapter 11, verse 1. "I was given a measuring reed like a rod," John says, "and I was given this instruction: go measure God's sanctuary and the altar and count those who worship there, but exclude the courtyard outside the sanctuary. Don't measure it, because it is given to the nations," that's Gentiles, "and they will trample the holy city for," say it. Say it together.
42 months.
42 months. Bang, that's number 1. Verse 3. I will empower my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days is exactly 42 months, each month being 30 days. Those are equal periods of time. Now, look with me, please, at chapter 12. Chapter 12, and look with me at verse 6. The woman, we read, fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God to be fed there for... Say it. I want you to say it. Yeah, I'm not trying to be bully or cute. I want you to say it. 1,260 days, that is the same unit as we just read in verse 3, and that's number 3. Now look with me, please, later in chapter 12, and look with me, please, at verse 14. Here we read, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so she could fly from the serpent's presence to her place in the wilderness where she was fed for a
time, times, and half a time.
Time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and
half a time.
Half a time. That's 3.5 years. That's 42 months. So that's the fourth time this same period is addressed. One more. Chapter 13, please. And look with me at verse 5. We read, a mouth was given to him, this is talking about the Antichrist, to speak boasts and blasphemies. He was also given authority to act for
42 months.
There you are. Five times, chapter 11, 12, 13. Five times this unit of time is brought to our attention. It is the last week of Daniel. The last part of this prophecy that has been in the books for 500 years before Jesus. The bulk of it has already been fulfilled, and you can test that. Go ahead, look it up. Go ahead. You can look it up. You can study it for yourself. You don't take my word for it. This is open, out in the open truth. One more unit of 7 years remains. And that unit, like each of those others, is divided into two sections. Two sections. 42 months, 1,260 days, time, times, and half a time. Now, I'm going to give you my explanation because I want to move on to something else, and you need to know this. Take the sheet that was given to you tonight. Take the sheet, the green sheet, and what we've done, at the top of the green sheet, we have made a statement. We have said this black stuff represents a period of 7 years. See it? Mm-hmm. 70 years. That's the same amount of time that each one of these other 69 years lasted in history past. So we've got a period of 7 years that we're dealing with, and that breaks down into, on the left-hand side, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. And on the right side, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. Two separate equal times. We have said that this period of 7 years is not only divided into those two units, but we know what's going to happen during each of those two units. Look at the top. We know that God is going to send his two witnesses, and we'll meet them in just a minute. God is going to send his two witnesses, and they are going to prophesy for 1,260 days. 42 months, 3.5 years. We know that. We know that. We're going to read the text in just a second. So the first 3.5 years God is going to have a very dominant presence in our world. His witnesses, his two prophets, will be dominant. Then we've put a white line there to remind us of something very dramatic and dynamic happens to separate the first of these 42 months from the last of these 42 months. We put that white line there, and on the last 42 months, Satan sends two witnesses. You know them as the beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's who they are. And during that period of time, they have incredible, unbelievable control to do their wickedness on the earth. Read this verse with me and shudder. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 13, look what it says in verse 5 and following. A mouth was given to him, the Antichrist. He speaks boasts and blasphemies. He was given authority to act. Over here, 42 months. That's in that upper right-hand block. Two witnesses who are devil sent. He is given authority to act for 42 months. He began to speak blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Watch. He was permitted to wage war against the saints, the good guys, and to conquer them. Now, where would that kind of authority have to come from? The throne of God. I hope you dream about that tonight. I'm very serious. Very serious. To me, that's the most chilling phrase in this whole book of Revelation. This false Christ is given authority to act 42 months. He was permitted to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. He was also given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All those who live on the earth will worship him. Only one exception. The only exception is if your name is written in the book of the Lamb. That's what it says. All those who live on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name is not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. Now, it's very clear how this division takes place. Matter of fact, these Satan-inspired witnesses actually are the ones who kill God's good witnesses in the first half. Look back in chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. God says he's going to send his two witnesses. You read it there in chapter 11. He says, I will empower my two witnesses. They will prophesy for 1,260 days. That's right here. These are God sent witnesses, two witnesses. And he says, if anybody wants to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. If anybody wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. That's the time period right there. And these men have the power to close the sky that it does not rain during the days of their prophecy. They also, these two prophets, also have power, God-given power, over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with any plague whenever they want. Verse 7, mark it. When they have finished their testimony. That would be 1,260 days. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them conquer them and kill them. Your silence shows respect for the authority behind that statement. Their dead bodies will lie in the public square of the great city, which is called prophetically Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Their Lord was crucified in Jerusalem, so that must be a reference to Jerusalem. Their bodies will lie in the public square of the same city where their Lord and Master Jesus Christ was crucified. Representatives from the peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will view their bodies for 3.5 days and not permit their bodies to be put into a tomb. Those who live on the earth will gloat over them and celebrate and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who live on the earth for this period of time, 3.5 years, right there on your sheet. For that 3.5 years, God will send two special prophets. They will be endowed with special miraculous powers. They are invincible, blah, 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 blah. But when that period of time, God has appointed them 1,260 days, when that period of time is done, Satan's demonic leader, who comes out of the abyss at the fifth trumpet, back in chapter 8, he will make war against these two God-anointed prophets, kill them. What will the response of the world be? Celebration. Why? Because these two prophets tormented people living on the earth. What does that mean? That means that the people on the earth and Satan himself has no authority over these two guys. It means that for 1,260 days, these two special prophets of God are going to literally dominate the world. And they are going to show miracle after sign after miracle after sign of their anointing from God. But when God's 1,260 days appointed for their ministry is over, Satan's captain from the abyss, demon force, very powerful demon, is going to make war against these two prophets and kill them. And the world is going to have one huge anti-Christmas party. At last, we got rid of those fools, those guys who tormented us by the standards that they insisted upon and by the way they behaved. Now, during that 42 months, during that 1,260 days, there will be a thriving temple in Jerusalem, thriving, functioning, and being very, very effective, celebrating Messiah, celebrating through the very systems that Moses was given by God to set up in the tabernacle and the priesthood and all the sacrifices back in the wilderness. Based upon the signs that are outlined here, this matter of no rain, that's Elijah, and power over waters to turn them into blood, sounds like Moses to me. Beside that, when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, those are the two dudes who showed up to celebrate, Moses and Elijah. You don't have to believe my selection of those two. But those dudes are going to bring to the world for 3.5 years prophetic power. No one will be able to resist them. No one will be able to stop them. And they will be effective in their witness for Christ. As a matter of fact, that's how people are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ after the church is gone. It'd be through the witness and testimony of those two prophets and through the Jewish worship system and the ministry of these two God-anointed prophets for the first 42 months. And then they're killed. And their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem. 3.5 days. But that's not the end of the story. You read in verse 11, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. Let me read that a little slower. After 3.5 days of their bodies roasting in that city called Jerusalem, the breath of life from God entered them. And they stood on their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And I believe that's the voice of Jesus. They went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. At that moment, a violent earthquake took place. A tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. The survivors were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. Second woe is past. Third woe is coming. Third woe will be unleashed when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. Now, that's what I want you to see here. On this side here of your sheet, I made a list, a general overview of things that are going to happen during that period that other scriptures support and say are going to happen. Then at the bottom, during that first period on earth, the seven seals are broken, and the seventh trumpet, I put it over here to the right, the seventh trumpet, and there's a reason, but the seventh trumpet is sounded. So you got all of the events of the seals and, let's say, the first six trumpets of the seven. You've got all of those events that take place. I think the seventh probably could be over here too. But nothing is happening over here yet. So you got the two witnesses, and here are the specific things that God says in his word happen under the ministry during the time of those two witnesses. Here are the flow of events. Jesus takes the seven seal book, he snaps the first seal, the second seal, and when the seals are snapped, each of these things flow. Got it? Now, over here in this second half, the two witnesses are sent by the devil. And that's a totally different situation. Notice with me, please, in chapter 12 of the book of the Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. In heaven. Not on earth. In heaven. In the heavenly. Michael, that's the great archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels who are in heaven, who have access to heaven, also fought, but he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He is thrown to the earth and his angels with him. And now we have an angel celebrate and announce the significance of that. Heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have now come. Because the accuser, that's Satan, the accuser of our brothers has been thrown out, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. They, the ones accused, conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe! Woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with these angels with great fury, because he knows he has a short time. How short? What? 42 months, 1260 days, time and times and half a time. Now, John has given one more detail that I want you to see. Look what happens. When the dragon saw that he had been thrown to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male. Who is that? Well, she's introduced to us in the first of three dramas. There are three, what we might call them, skits or plays. There are three of them, and she is presented to us and introduced to us in the first of those. You'll find that in chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign, that word means drama. A great drama appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, cried out in labor and agony to give birth. That's the first. Verse 3. A second sign. Verse 3. Then another sign, number 2, appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems. His tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. That's a reference to angels who followed in Satan's rebellion. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, he might devour her child. But she gave birth to a son, a male, who is going to shepherd all nations with a rod, with an iron scepter. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God to be fed there for 1260 days. So who is the woman? Who gave birth to the son, capital S, a male who is going to shepherd, to rule all nations with a rod of iron, a son who was caught up to God and to God's throne. Who is that? In history, it's Mary. In prophecy, Mary is the seed of the woman who is promised by God in the Garden of Eden. She is promised that she, the seed of the woman, will bear a child. She, not together with a husband, but a supernatural conceived child. And that child will be hers, and he will be the incarnate Son of the Trinity in heaven. And when he was born, Satan certainly tried to destroy him. You know the story as well or better than I do. And even while the Son was here on the earth for 33 and a half years, Satan constantly was trying to destroy him, disqualify him, didn't get the job done. He was crucified, rose, went to heaven, resurrection, where he is now. Now this last reference, the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God to be fed there for 1260 days. 1260 days, 42 months, time, half a time. And that's exactly what Satan confronts when he is cast out of heaven in the war initiated by Michael the archangel. We read in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been thrown to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male. That's the same one we met in this special heavenly drama. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle so that she could fly from the serpent's presence to her place in the wilderness, where she was fed for a time, times, half a time. God will supernaturally prepare a wilderness home for the people who are represented by this woman who gave birth to God the Son, and those are our Jewish brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he said, now listen, when you see the abomination of desolation take place in the holy place, like Daniel said, flee to the wilderness. Pray that your flight doesn't take place on the Sabbath day. Pray that you're not pregnant at that time. But God will prepare a place in the wilderness which Satan cannot penetrate. He can't get at them. And God will nourish and feed these believing Jewish, or these Jewish believers who have been worshiping him in Jerusalem, in the temple. They will flee when Satan is kicked out of heaven, and Satan will not be able to penetrate that fortress or get them. That's what the text tells us. It says, from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river after the woman to sweep her away in a torrent. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had spewed from his mouth. So the dragon was furious with the woman and left to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony about Jesus. Now that's a critical passage in the book of Revelation. At that time, in the chronology of the 70th week of Daniel, at that time, the two witnesses will have been killed. They are going to be raptured. That's what the word is there. It's the same word that's used in other places. The two witnesses will be resurrected from dead and be raptured to heaven. The Antichrist, under the empowerment of Satan, is going to rule the world with one exception. That place in the wilderness he cannot penetrate. And there in the wilderness, God is going to miraculously care for, feed, provide, and protect that group of believing Jewish people who flee into the wilderness at that time. You got time for one more? I want you to see the third drama. Turn over, please. Turn over to chapter 15 of the book of the Revelation. John says, I saw another great, chapter 15, verse 1, I saw another great and awe-inspiring sign, same word, drama, in heaven. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, for with them God's wrath will be completed. And you read how these seven bowls that angels carry contain the wrath of God, the full measure of the wrath of God. And you read how they are dumped out in chapter 16. And what you'll note is that most of them are specifically said to be God's wrath expressed against Satan, his kingdom, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's what you'll read there in chapter 16. Now, I hope this will be a help to you. I hope you'll be able to take your Bible. I put no verse of scripture on it. That's your job. Go through the book of Revelation and note, especially down here in specific details, note the timing and the location of the specific events that fill these two halves. The first half, when the two special witnesses sent by God are functioning in Israel and the temple is thriving, doing great. Then this white line is the abomination of desolation, which is the act of the Antichrist, empowered by Satan and permitted by God. Let me say that a little slower. Directed by God to go into that temple and desecrate it and put in that temple in Jerusalem an idol, a physical idol that is a manifestation or a copy of the visage or the person of the Antichrist. And it will be placed in the Holy of Holies, and the Antichrist will absolutely require, in the second half, he'll require that everybody worship him to get the 666. That takes place over here. See that? Now, I tried to break it off for you, and I put down here three dramas in heaven. Those three dramas are the three that we just read, and they are located, if you didn't get the... If you didn't get it, the third one is in chapter 15, verse 1. The second and first are in chapter 12, the first four verses, five verses. Now, those events shape, those events form the platform and the reality for people living on the earth when Satan's in charge. When God delivers people who want to be worshiping demons over to the demons. When God delivers people who want to serve the Antichrist and Satan as the true God, God delivers them over. You're saved. I'm done. Our Father in heaven, this passage is so important. It tells us so many things that wrap up the mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity, so many other passages throughout Scripture point to and anticipate these events we've talked about tonight. John must have been stunned as he watched that second half unfold. When the demons in the abyss have been released upon the earth, when the demons in the great river Euphrates have been unleashed, 200 million of them, and when Satan himself and all of those demons who now have access to heaven are kicked out of heaven and forced to live on earth, this world will be indescribably horrible. Only one patch of light over there in that wilderness where you will make a place to feed your brethren, those who share your nationality, those who are like Mary, Joseph, John the Baptist, who grew up as seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There will be protection for them, so they will not be killed, and they will be witnesses on the earth by their very presence that God still maintains his sovereignty. And that God's choice to give men and women over to Satan and demons and the horrors, the awful things that are going to dominate those people, you're going to permit, you're going to allow, and it will be horrible. But all that sets up the stage for King Jesus to come back from heaven. And we'll be with him. Battle of Armageddon will be fought. Those Jewish people out there for 3.5 years preserved in that special wilderness will celebrate Messiah's appearance. The temple will be cleansed, restored, and a magnificent temple, huge, just like described in Ezekiel, the last 8 chapters. Will be built upon our earth. And for 1,000 years, you, Jesus, will rule and reign, and we will sit on thrones, assisting in some way in that administration. And then there'll be no war. Satan, all the demons, will be bound, unable to affect life on earth during that incredible 1,000 years. And Jesus sits upon the throne of his father David and rules the world in righteousness, in love, in truth. Incredible. Now, Father, give us capacity to understand. Help us to pursue these things until our hearts are at peace and rest with what you've told us in this book about your plan and about your coming. My friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ personally as your personal Lord and Savior, please take care of that. Please settle that. Invite him, Jesus, to give you personally the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from filth, from unrighteousness, to give you his righteousness as a gift he earned for you by his own personal death in your place. Receive him, invite him, ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and give you eternal life. Now, Father, teach us that we might walk in truth, I pray. Thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.